Well, we got super excited and forgot to introduce our guest for this episode. It is the mighty Natalie Ekdahl from BizChicks.com, and that is BizChix.com. So that is the third voice that you hear in addition with Jessica and myself, Elsie. Just wanted to let you guys know because we completely forgot. Bye-bye.
So Natalie, we were just, Elsie just asked me while we were biding time a question that I know you have a good answer to.
I don't know,
Elsie, if you want to start recording.
I think I already did.
Okay, cool.
So here's the thing. I got an email to two of my emails requesting me to be a guest on a show. And I love, you know, I'm on everybody's show. I don't really have any kind of, I don't really say no because
standards?
I...
Standards?
Yeah.
No. Okay, wait. Sorry, I was distracted. You got invited to be on
a show, like on a podcast. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I love being guests, and I generally don't have standards, exactly what Jessica just said. But because I really love being on shows, and I'm not like one of those people that if you reach out to me and you want me to be on your show, you don't have to tell me who's been on your show. You don't have to tell me, like, you don't have to tell me these things. I just want to be
You're kind of like a podcast whore.
Yes, totally. Yeah. But here's the thing though, I got this invite for in She Podcast and for Libsyn, like both in one, asking me to be on the show. And I was like, but the email was so not like, hey, I want to be, have you on my show, which is usually what I get. It was very, slightly
form lettery.
Yes, very much so. And so I went ahead and I clicked through wondering what was going on with this person. And I don't know if you can see in the Skype there, Miss Natalie, I have put the link. I just don't want to talk about the link. I just put the link in there so that you could look at it. And then I started to read that and I got super stressed out. Like just reading that, I got super stressed out. And then because of the way that it's formed out. And then I started to realize this is so not me. Like I have no, like, I don't want to talk about this stuff. This is not the language that I'm speaking in my own life. I just got really stressed out. That's
yeah,
all
like
I keep
saying. The questions are like, when did you first get the spark of entrepreneurship? And Elsie's not really like a,
I'm not that.
Well,
I mean,
well, I've been a money hungry whore since 1905. She's not the person you ask about entrepreneur, even though you are an entrepreneur, Elsie, it's not like your mission.
Yes, I don't, that's not the label that I put on myself. You know how people love to put labels on themselves, ones they love and whatever. That's not a label I love to put on myself because I'd rather be a podcaster. But then this is what started to get me, the pre-interview prep and instructions part, where just reading that, I was like, if I was a newbie, I would say I would be too scared. Like, all of the stuff that's
okay,
here.
I'm just getting to that. Okay, I'm checking.
Hold on, I have my doorbell. I think I have to get my door.
Okay, you go get your door, and I'll keep talking.
You guys
like
answer,
that.
But I have a good answer for this.
Yes.
Okay, I'm looking at it. So it says, if your audio is below standard, we will not be able to proceed with the interview. In all caps.
Yes, I know. This is what I'm saying, and then it's.
But
like,
in some ways, that's good. In some ways, that's good.
Well, yeah, I get it.
Okay, close your door. Turn off your cell phone, relax, be warm and friendly. Okay. So what about the pre-interview stuff, bothered you or made you nervous?
Well, all of this stuff. It's like reboot your computer to save memory, consider disabling programs to automatically load at startup. Like just starting to read all this stuff, I was like, I don't think I want to do this. This is way too much pressure on me. Like, even though I do this anyway, it's like a natural thing, but then it's, I understand all of this stuff, but I feel that there is so much information here that it will make people not do it. And then it tells you, he tells you how to be warm and friendly, feel free to laugh or show your emotion. What? This can communicate more powerfully than mere words. Really?
The only thing I can think of is if he, and I'm assuming it's a guy.
Yeah.
He is targeting people that haven't been interviewed before. I think a lot of this is really great. So I interview a lot of people that have never been interviewed before. And I actually like kind of finding those people that haven't been on the podcast airways. So I find them. And then some of this would be helpful for them because I'm having to do this when we're on, you know, in our pre-interview time together.
Right.
I'm like, well, I hear some echoing, you know, can you close the door? And can you, you know, I can hear a fan in the background. Could you turn that off? And for women, I always have to tell them to put their hair back. And,
oh, very interesting. No, but mm-hmm. okay, so here's the thing. So whose job is it to vet the people? Let's say me. I am like a podcast person. Like I speak, I'm on podcasts all the time. I speak about podcasting. I have two podcasts about podcasting. Hello. Do you send this to somebody that
no.
does that? Well,
no,
this is what
no.
I'm saying. So it's
I
like,
agree.
If you're going to be talking
yeah.
to me, then you know who, supposedly you would know who I'm about, what I stand for, what I don't. I mean, especially because I am like an expert in the industry. So if that's the case, then I feel that there needs to be a difference or a different reaching out. Like you, would you send this form letter to Tim Ferriss if you were inviting him on your show?
Absolutely.
Are you comparing
not.
Yourself right. to Tim Ferriss?
No, I'm just.
She
yes,
is.
I am. No, no,
he's
I'm just.
The 4-hour yoga week.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, I know form. I know systems are amazing, and we're going to be talking about all those systems for you too.
Well, yeah.
You know, systems are amazing, and they do take care of a lot of these problems, a lot of these issues, and they streamline things. But if you're going to be reaching to specific people who already know this, this kind of put me off. This kind of thing made me go like, you don't even know who I am. Not
no,
to
I think,
say that.
But I, you know. But I think it, what put you off before this link was the email you got and that
yes,
you got it
yes.
basically to two different email addresses. They were sent to you two different places. This person doesn't even know who you are. They're just sending out to different people. And well, I think that's what it comes down to is if you're trying to invite people onto your show, you need to personalize it in some way.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, he really didn't. I mean, you are like a legend
no.
in the podcast industry. So it's like he could have said something.
You know, also, if this person is copying, you know, if this person is podcasting Paradiser or whatever and using John's like tutelage, if you will, he does not tell you to do this. In fact, he has templates that he specifically not requests, but that he specifically recommends that you personalize. So I just want to make that clear, like, because I think people just try and take like the fastest route to stuff. This just seems like a form letter he sent to like 12 people at one time. I'm checking. I'm actually just online to see if he's actually in here.
I was going to do the same thing.
Did you? Is he?
No, I haven't yet. I haven't. Go ahead.
I can't tell. I don't think so. But anyway, so I just wanted to say that, like, I don't think that John is telling people to, like, do this because – but the format of the show is similar.
Yeah, very much
well,
so.
Of course.
John has a
copycat.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And so –
I've literally been on shows where people ask me his exact same questions in the exact same order.
I heard your like 1-year anniversary thing and I was like, get out of town because I knew that people were copying, but I didn't know people were copying like – Copying.
It was like yes. a few times I'm like, could you just like mix them up a little bit, like reverse them if you're going to use some different ones. But I understand, like, I remember when I was starting, just, you know, he inspired so many people, right?
And
you called
me.
Them, you called them baby. What do you call them? Elsie, you had a name for them, like baby what? Something.
Baby something?
Baby entrepreneur on fire people. Baby
oh.
John Lee. you know, where his offspring.
Yes.
You know, he inspired a lot of people. And I remember thinking, you know, what did I like about his show? And, you know, definitely pulled inspiration and pulled some things from him. I think what I liked about his show is that I liked and I disliked it. I liked that you kind of knew the questions that were coming every time. And then I kind of didn't like that. So my show, what I've kind of evolved to is I start and end with the same question. And in between, it will be different.
There. So you did it.
Yeah.
Good.
Boom.
Yeah.
But I don't
Boom.
Start and end with his same questions.
Right.
Oh, she has her own. Yeah.
No, but I guess we go back to the question of, and okay, and this is a really great, and I don't even know if we're going to be able to hit on all this stuff, but I think it's a great segue to what we were wanting to talk about, which is outsourcing and kind of, you know, talking more about being 1 year, you know, into the space and having started about a year ago, right? You're now 1 year old.
I'm a year old. And you know what? I just have to say, I feel like, you know, in school when you're sitting at one lunch table and you're really hoping to get invited to that, like, that other lunch table where the kind of the popular girls are and they're a little older than you, even though I think I'm older than you guys. But they're like, they're like ahead of you. And like, I feel like I got invited to that lunch table today.
Oh my God.
Actually,
so
I think you and Elsie are the same.
Oh yeah. I'm 42. How old are you?
I'm
Elsie?
Older. I just turned 43.
She just turned 43 though, like Friday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. You're 6 months older than me, basically.
Yeah. The look, see, I'm the oldest one at the table. But yay. But okay, so going back to this, like, it takes a lot of work because I have to say this, and I talked about it in the last episode where, you know, when you and I were chatting, Jess, and we brought Natalie up, how she has a very specific, you know, type of entrepreneur that comes on her show. Like, it's not just like anybody who's just randomly started a business for today, right? But there's a very kind of like a
kind of my target is I interview women who are founders or co-founders of the current business they're in. And I seek people that whose revenue is 100K or they're on par for that, over 100K or on par for that. You know, I mean, obviously I'm not, can I see your income statements? You know, I don't say that, but when I ask for referrals, that's kind of what I share with my, you know, with people that are sharing, referring guests to me. And I say it's someone that you would think of and think that they're successful. Like, wow, that person's successful. I want to hear their story.
Yep.
But they don't have to be billionaires or millionaires even. So.
Right. But you have like something there, right? So my question to you is, who does the research for that? Like, because now we're going to start to move into outsourcing because that takes a lot of work. I have to say that for me, like, there's been two or three women podcasters that have just come onto my radar that I had no idea about. And I am super excited about and wanting to listen. Like, there's something about them that has called me to them. And I immediately just want to know more. And you know what? I have to take time to do that because I'm a proponent of listening. I'm a proponent of really getting the essence of people and to really diving into how they are in the world as a whole, like not just in their business, but I love social media. That's the way that I meet people. That's the way that I like to see the speaking part of it. You know, it takes a lot of work and I know that I don't have time. So, you know, so my question to you is, do you vet people or does your team vet people?
So I'll tell you who my team is. Mm-hmm. Yes. My team is my virtual assistant and she is in the Philippines and she's been with us since day one. And my husband is the other part of my team and he does all of the editing and post-production for the show and, you know, submitting to Libsyn and all of that. So Lisa May is my VA and I would say over time we've evolved to what she does now. At the beginning she did tiny bits of things and then as I got to trust her and count on her to do things and ask her to do things and she would do them or do them like way better than I expected, then I would give her more. So we didn't just start off with what she's doing for me now. I used to do all the research on my guests myself. And it's took me, like you just said, so long. Mm-hmm. And it's a balance. I think also as I've become a better interviewer and I've gotten more experience and confidence in myself, I don't need to do as much research because part of that is a discovery that happens during the show. Like I don't want to know everything about someone. I want to find out some things that surprise me during the interview.
Yeah.
So like just like finding guests, that's kind of where you start, right?
Right.
It happens a few different ways. A lot of times I read a lot of, you know, just in the reading you do, you know, you find, oh, that's an interesting story. Oh, that's an interesting business. So I'll forward that person to Lisa May and say, you know, invite them to be on the show. And and then she looks for people too. And then she'll be like, here's some people too. What do you think of them? So what we have created is a shared database, which is basically a Google spreadsheet. We call it Women to Interview. And it lists all the women that we've ever invited on the show or that we're thinking of inviting. So she puts anyone I send her, she puts them onto that list so we can keep track. Because there were a few times where we were both inviting the same people.
Oh.
Or both thinking of the same people. So that's kind of how we track that. And that also allows us to go back. If there's people we haven't heard back from, we can, you know, if they haven't said no, because sometimes we invite people and we hear nothing back. And what I've learned is that if you hear nothing back, that doesn't necessarily mean no. It just means maybe they forgot to respond to your email.
Yeah.
So sometimes we'll go back and invite people again.
That's really cool.
So that's kind of like the first part of our process is that. And then once someone says they want to be on the show and they book through our online scheduling software, then we add them to our, we call it our Biz Chicks interview database. And that basically has all of their information in one place. So their name, their interview date and time, and their business, their website link, and then their social media handles, like all in different fields. So it's all like basically that information's all in a central place. And then when I complete an interview, I write in one column done, so she knows that I did the interview. And then we put our, the numbers of the episode numbers in there too, because she does, Lisa Mae does the show notes for every episode. So she, once a guest books their interview, she starts putting the show notes together with them, and she does some coordinating with them, getting, I get from every guest a headshot. I ask them for an inspirational quote, a productivity tip, and a book recommendation. And we ask for that in advance. And so she plugs that into our show notes and creates a like graphic for the inspirational quote. That's kind of like the beginning of the process that we use for guest.
Dude, how long does that take? I mean, I'm just asking just because you know, I'm not a spreadsheet type of a girl. I try to do spreadsheets. I've tried, I create them all the time and I never go back. Like I always end up just putting everything in a text file because I don't work with anybody else. I understand how nicely it is. But then at the same time, I've been working with clients right now and I've been running a lot of these sort of things, you know, these kinds of things, different kinds of promotions and launchings and social media stuff. And I've created web, you know, spreadsheets that help me. And then I send them over and they're like, can you just put that on a text file? I'm like,
So I am like, you know, a strange bird. I literally like think in spreadsheets. So like I plan my kids' birthday parties out in spreadsheets. And, my mom was teasing me, the last trip I was taking, cause I had printed out, there's a spreadsheet of our packing list and each person is a column with all the things they need to bring. And, you know, and then I like to cross things off. So that's just how my mind works that way. And that's how I organize things. And it's been very convenient for, working with someone else in another country,
right,
in another time zone. So, it's worked for both of us and she seems to work well in spreadsheets too. So it's been great.
That's a yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So it does, I mean, it wouldn't work for everyone, but it works for us. And then, then for every guest, I have kind of, I call it the script template, and it's kind of the outline of what I'm going to ask and some things that I need to know from the person. Lisa Mae will paste their bio in there and their headshot, their Skype ID in case, we haven't connected yet on Skype. I can see that. And then at the bottom of the, this isn't a text document, like a Google Doc. You'd like this, Elsie. It's not a spreadsheet. At the very end, she does probably about 10 or 15 minutes of research on the person and literally just includes links.
Oh.
So she'll link in, you know, articles about the person and even paste in a few interviews that the person may have done if they've gotten some publicity. And then I usually also before a show, we'll see if that person has been on any podcasts. And if they have, I'll listen in a little bit depending on the level of the guest. If it's someone, you know, like John Lee Dumas or Amy Porterfield who have been interviewed a ton of times and I really want the interview to be a little different, I'll actually listen to maybe four or five different shows that they've been on to try to think how I can spin it differently.
Wow, cool beans. That's a lot of... Go ahead, Jess.
Mine is really similar. The only thing that I have, that Natalie has that I don't, is a spreadsheet.
Oh.
But like, I have the... Now, I will say that I do the research on my guests, actually, because the way I had this process set up was they would go through... they actually, Elsie, you think her, I mean, I don't even know if this is similar, but like first they have to apply to be a guest, then they have to fill out a whole questionnaire, and both are not quick. processes. And actually, I saw someone's Facebook status update yesterday that said, guess what? No one's dying to apply to be on your podcast. And it was a podcast. It was a fellow podcaster who's been on my show, who I've been on her show. So I know she wasn't talking about me because she's a doll face. But like, I kind of thought about that and I was like, but they are though. They are doing it. So
they are.
They are.
We get emails all the time. We get emails every day asking to be on our show.
And so to help me do the research, like first they need to fill out saying how long they've been in business and what their focus is and why I should have them on, because I'm not going to bother if it's like 6 months or less. And then like the questionnaire is similar to Natalie's, you know, I asked them for, you know, not productivity, but like, I think I do like a time say I do something. It's similar. But also I want to know what kind of stuff they're into that isn't business related. So I have something to BS about during the show. And then I use that questionnaire to refer back to when I'm interviewing people to keep it interesting. So if they don't fill
you
it
also,
out.
You also ask something interesting, Jess, because I've been on your show and I filled that out. You ask if there's anything the guest does not want to talk about, which I think is really smart.
Oh, yeah. Well, because otherwise I'll just be a nosy bee and asking stuff I shouldn't be. You know, like, so I shouldn't be bringing up. I mean, you know, like, that question is really meant for people like Mari, you know, Mari Smith or, like, you know, bigger guests have public failures. And so I don't want, you know, like, Mari was public, you know, she was divorced after she became relatively famous. Like, you know, or, like, you know, once I interviewed Laura Roeder and I didn't know if she wanted to talk about B school, that kind of thing. So, so that's why that's there, just so I don't bring up anything and make an awkward, you know, silent moment on my show that I don't want to have to edit later. That's pretty much the gist of that. But like, yeah, I mean, I know it's long, but the thing is, like, it's like you said, the time it takes to go to a person's website, look at their Facebook, look at their Twitter. Have they made any effort at all to have a digital presence whatsoever? Because I don't want to build it for them. Like, I'm not here to build your community. If you don't have one already, then, you know, check back with me when you do.
Okay. All right, then. So here's
not because I want them to build mine. It's just because, you know, I think too many people apply to be on podcasts because they feel like it's, you know, that's how they're going to, that I, you know what? I need a bigger audience. I better start being on every podcast. And so, yep. You know, and Natalie, yours and mine are probably not to be, I mean, this is for business people, you know, not to be arrogant, but I'm sure we're, you know, ours and Katie's is probably checked out first.
I think, well, and I know we get a lot of the same, you know, pitches. And so that's kind of one reason I'm like,
yes.
You know, I don't want to interview the same people that are being interviewed by you and Katie.
What?
And me, like, that's kind of weird. And that was happening for a while was like, they're like on all three of our shows, boom, 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 boom. And so that's why I'm actually not, reading very many of the pitches I get because I enjoy going out and finding these people that have never been interviewed before, but then they're also harder to interview because they've never been interviewed before. They're nervous,
you know,
and they're not as, you know, not as polished, but that's okay.
And actually, you know, when I interviewed, John Lee Dumas, I asked him, would he rather pitch or be pitched? Because when you're pitched, it's an easy, you know, it's low hanging fruit, but he said pitch. And I agree. Like I would much rather ask someone I'm excited to talk to then be pitched the same person as Natalie and Katie and half a dozen other, you know,
exactly.
People. So, and I wanted to tell you, Elsie, I have a really good answer to the question, you know, to how do you say no to someone who was not a good fit? The way I did it when somebody asked me to be on a show and it was definitely not a good fit was I was like, oh, you don't want me on this show.
Like, I considered that.
I really made it all about how I would never be a good guest for this topic. And so, I mean, I'm joking, but like, I would just say, oh, you don't want me because I really don't have anything to say on this topic. And even, you know, and even further, you know, it doesn't apply to me and it wouldn't be a good show. I don't make it about like, they're too new. They, you know, it's, you know, whatever. I just make it about me and how I wouldn't add value.
Right.
It's sort of like, you know, you fall on the sword a little, whether it's true or not. I mean, the truth is, Elsie, you could add value to anything, but.
Yes.
You're very sweet.
Can I just like pose this because I think this is a commonality I see in our She Podcast group a lot, which is like, how do you have that hard conversation with someone? Like, how do you say no to anything? Like, no, I don't want to be on your show, or no, your interview didn't go well, so it's not going to air, or no, I don't want you on my show. It's, I feel like as women, you know, we're raised, it's hard as, you know, as little girls are raised to be nice. And so like, really, dudes would not have a hard time saying no. They'd be like, no. And they wouldn't feel like they had to give a long explanation. They would just be like, that's not going to work out.
True.
And then they shake it off. Other dudes, they're like, oh, yeah, whatever. And I feel like as women, we're like overthink everything and have such a hard time just saying no, which is, you know, your time is valuable, Elsie. And if this isn't a good use of your time, just say, you know, no, I don't want to, you know, this isn't a good fit for me. Good luck with your podcast. I hope I see you, you know, at NMX or whatever, podcast movement. So,
but that's a lie. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, then don't say that. I don't think that we should have to, you know, tell people be sorry about stuff. Like, I had a guest that was invited to come on my show, and she had a partner in her business, and she like emailed and said, well, my business partner would, I'd like to have her on with me because we play off really well with each other. And I think it'll be great for your show. And I'm like, it's my show. And I've never interviewed two people together, and I don't have plans to. I really like to hear one person's story. That's kind of what the show's about, is getting into your background. Like, how did you grow up, and what, you know, what is your business background, and how did you, you know, it's about one person's story, not two people's story. So I yeah. was telling, you know, my family about this. I'm like, I'm going to tell her, you know, no, you can't bring your friend on. You know, it's just for you. And my daughter's like, well, I don't think you should say it so mean like that, Mom. You know, you should say, I'm sorry, but that's not going to work out. And I was like, but I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. Right. It's my show. And I am, you know, I'm, she's not paying me to be on my show. I am helping her promote her business because I want to, because I love doing that. But in doing that, you really can't like change the format of my show. Mm-hmm. If you want to change the format, then maybe do your own show.
For those of you who are listening, if you had not listened to the episode where I interview Natalie on Lady Business Radio, I think we should put the link because,
okay.
Natalie, you may recall this. I grilled the crap out of her about saying no because I am the worst at this. And it seems that Natalie is like the best at it. So I was just like, what about when this happens? How do you say it when that happens? And how do you feel about, I mean, I was so impressed by her like zero fucks attitude about saying no to people. I was just like, she is the bomb. I can't believe I've gone this long and not known this about her. But she's so great at saying like, no, thank you. It doesn't have to be nice. She doesn't apologize for saying no. It's just like, nah, I'm all set. And I think what I was really struggling with at the time was bad interviews. I didn't, or maybe mm-hmm. maybe this wasn't part of the interview, Nat. Maybe no, like a
yeah,
side
I don't know. Was it a pre-chat? I
it
can't
might
remember.
Have been a pre-chat. But like, yeah. So maybe don't listen to it. But anyway, like, but like, I do remember like, yeah, I was struggling with an interview that, I didn't want to put live, and she was like walking me through that. And to be honest with you, I had another one after I spoke to you, Natalie, and I still have not told that person, like, I can't do this. I can't put this. And she even circled back around and was like, hey, I noticed you haven't, and I still haven't responded back to her.
You know what? I've done a few interviews that people haven't aired, and I'm kind of like, well, it either didn't fit with their audience, or, and I know two of them had audio problems, and one of them, the person didn't launch their podcast. So I don't really, most people are too busy to worry about, did you air my podcast interview? Most people yeah. we're interviewing are doing a lot of other media and are busy in their business. They're not really circling back to find out. So, but yeah, I think in my business, you know, pre-life, before podcasting and what I'm doing now, I primarily worked with men. And so I had to learn how to, a lot of times I'd be the only woman in the room. And so, you know, men just deal with business and each other differently than women deal with each other. And so I had to adapt to work with them and to succeed around them. You know, men have no problem saying how great they are. And it doesn't, and sometimes it comes off as bragging, but a lot of times it's just like, hey, this is what I accomplished, you know? And I was raised, you know, let other people talk about you, let other people, you know, shine the light for you. Don't be the one telling, you know, what you've, how great you are, what you just accomplished. Let other people do that. Otherwise you're bragging. But in the business world, you have to share what you're doing to, you know, get to that next promotion or to get on that great project. People have to know what you're doing. So I feel like I had to adapt, and I'm just a little sensitive to how, and, you know, raising a daughter, I want her to be able to say no to things and not sit there and spend a day struggling. Can I say no to this guy that asked me out that I don't like? Or can I, you know, I'm having a conflict with a girlfriend. How do I tell her, you know, you did this thing that bothered me. Can we work this out? So, yeah. So I kind of like think maybe I probably overthink through some of this, but I'm also, I think we do need to be able to, you know, deal with people and say, you know, this is my show. This is the kind of the boundary. It's like having boundaries with people. These are the boundaries, and this is my show.
Right. And you know,
it's funny that you bring that up about dating, because I also remember just not calling guys back. It's been my approach to ignore requests I don't want to answer for a long time, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Cause I do believe that that's how we start to do it. That's how I do it. And now I don't do it even on purpose anymore. It's because my email boxes, because I have many, are so full of different requests. And then I generally just go to the things that really need to get handled right away. And if I get a request for me to be on a podcast, if it's a friend of mine and I can very easily say yes right away, then I'll do it and I'll schedule it and it's done. But if not, it's just going to stay there. And you're right. And Natalie, you're hitting on a really huge, huge thing right now, because, you know, that's part of something that I've been following a lot, is the conversations of women in tech, because I feel that I am a woman in tech. I align more with that than a woman in business, you know?
Yes,
so
you watching, are a woman in tech.
So watching that conversation arise from women in tech that aren't very many, and the flack and the real danger that's coming to their physical persons of death threats and rape threats because they're just speaking up. It's just mind-blowing. And I just, you know, I sent a screenshot of a conversation that was just happening on Twitter to Jess the other day for one of the women who is in another podcast. She is a podcaster, and that's why I was so, she is a she podcaster, right? And she runs like a gamer company, and she's been, you know, she's been harassed like no tomorrow, both on Twitter and on Reddit. And it's not like, these are not like your, right, it's not trolls in quotes. These are not just, these are like, this is dangerous. This is like
bullying.
Beyond that.
Trolling and bullying are different.
But it's even worse than that, because this conversation, it's just insane. And the thing is that she is just basically standing up over and over to talk to people and say, no, this is not what I believe. This is not okay. And at the same time, it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We had the same thing happening with an article that I also shared with Lindy West, who she wrote an article for The Guardian that says, what happened when I confronted my cruelest troll? And this troll, what he did is he opened up a Twitter account and used her dead father's image as the icon, and then started to say nasty things to her on Twitter.
As her dead father.
As her dead father.
How messed up is that?
Yeah.
That was disgusting.
Yeah. And so it's in an end, she ended up meeting him actually and having a conversation with him. And she asked him, I mean, there's a longer, much more beautiful story, not beautiful, but you know, like in depth, intelligent.
It's a beautiful story.
It's a beautiful story of the whole thing. And she ended up talking to him, and he said, well, basically because I'm unhappy with myself, this is what I wanted to make you unhappy. And
he said he could tell she was happy and confident with mm-hmm. who she was
yeah.
as a person and
exactly.
what she was doing.
Yeah, totally. And it's, you know, it's that kind of stuff where it's amazing the kind of resilience that we need to have. And this is something that I also need to work on. And one of the reasons I'm speaking so much about this kind of stuff too, is because this is part of who I am. It's part of my platform. It's part of who I believe and want to be in the world, is about speaking up, because I have such a hard time, because I've felt that, no, you need to be quiet. No, you yeah. let them speak. No, you don't ask permission, because you're not going to get it.
yeah.
You know, it's basically how I was raised. And so I had this embedded thing where I couldn't speak
yes.
up, or if I spoke up, I was speaking out of turn, or, you know, there's all of this, of course, cultural things and all that stuff. And I am now, I mean, it's taken me 43 years to get to a position where I'm like, that is not okay. I need to follow through on all the things that are going on in my pretty little head. so, you know, it's
true.
And it's hard. And Nat, I mean, you're totally right. Last night we were having a conversation with Hunter, my 6 year old, and I just said, because she's been going to our neighbor's house basically for the whole day. She's like a nanny over there as well, and we're really close. Like it's like two houses that are like I could throw a stone. It's like, sure. You know. So she goes and plays there, and then she came, and I go, "How's it been going being out in the world without mommy and daddy?" She's like, "Fine." And I said, "Well, you know, all you have to do is just make sure that you tell people if you don't want to do something, you don't have to do it. You just need to use your words and you have to do it like that." And she just kind of looked at me. She was like, "What are you talking about, Mom?"
Yes.
But it's like, it just wanted to start the conversation that she doesn't have to play games. She doesn't want to play because she's very much into playing with other kids and she's very open. But I just thought, you know, now's the time, right?
Yeah. It's true.
It's so true. Yeah. I think it's, you know, I've kind of talked to my mom about this conversation because, you know, she, you know, was so focused on me being a humble person, which I think is awesome, a wonderful character quality to have. And, you know, she said, "I never thought through how that could affect you in the business world." And, you know, my mom's a teacher and she encouraged me to go into business. She saw that that would be a good place for me and really like champion that for me. And she said, "You know, I never thought, you know, that that would impact you." And it was really a struggle. Like it's always like this inner struggle, like, okay, I have to be nice and find a way to say it nicely. But, but men aren't sitting there thinking about that. They don't sit there and think, you know, am I going to hurt this guy's feelings if I say this?
Right.
Yeah. They don't think about that.
They don't.
But you know, okay. So when I see
I have an answer for that though.
Okay.
Sorry, Elsie.
No, go. You have the answer and I'll comment again. Go.
The answer to that is not because women are necessarily oppressed and told to shut up. The answer is because boys as children don't bully the shit out of one another the way girls do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have, like, and I've seen, because I have a daughter and a son, you know, and I watch the way that they both played with friends and I've overheard their little conversations and like guys just kind of like, you know, this is the best game. Then the other kid will go, "Man, that game sucks." And then they're both cool with the fact that they don't agree on it. And they just,
exactly.
But women, girls, ew, you don't like pink. What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm not going to talk to you for 3 months.
What? I'm going to go cry in the bathroom because she doesn't like my backpack. Like, like they're insane. And I think, and I don't know that it's necessarily like that we're not allowed to speak our minds, but that we're just so judgmental of each other that we learn that we can't say no without her going to other women and going, "She is a bitch."
That's true. There's consequences for saying no.
We don't have
consequences for going against someone.
Yeah. They don't have it with one another. Therefore, it doesn't even occur to them that they would have it with us, that we're going to go and say, like, "I tried to be on this guy's podcast and he was such a dick." Like, they don't know or care that we're going to say that because they learned young that that doesn't happen or doesn't matter. Whereas, like, you know, like for Natalie to pitch us, she knows we're going to talk about her. It's brave. I mean,
yes.
She's not going to say anything bad, but, you know, like she doesn't know. I mean, you know, it depends on how bad you're bullied as a kid, right? Now, like for me, it's like, you know, if I were to pitch you and Elsie, it's like, okay, I know they're going to talk about me. I have no idea what they're going to say. I hope they don't say anything bad.
Oh,
I don't know. Right? I always assume people are talking crap about me.
Dude.
And actually, the trolling thing is funny because, like, I have such a different reaction. Like, when people have trolls, I'm always just like, "Well, how come I don't have a troll?"
Oh, my God.
I feel like you've made it when you have people, like, really. You have. I think you were saying that with the Saturday Night Live thing,
yeah.
That last episode. You know, when people are parodying you or making fun of you or hating you, you kind of made it.
Yeah. I feel kind of like, and then I also have wanted to say in my little Lady Business Bomb Squad, like, does anyone have anything like negative they want to say to me? Because like, I love that you guys love my show, but it's not constructive really.
Well, they don't want to get kicked out of your group. They're the admin.
I know, but do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not, listen, I mean, now putting this out there, I'm sure people are going to now like, you know, make a Twitter profile as my dead mother and start harassing.
Oh, I'm doing it right now.
Right?
I'm going to be your new like troll. I can't wait.
Listen,
I'm on
nobody
it.
As my dead mother could possibly inflict as much pain as she did while she was alive.
Oh my God.
Doesn't matter. You can't hurt me. It's fine.
It's been done.
That's right. But no, I mean, I don't know. I just, yeah, I sort of feel like troll, but trolling and threats are different. To me, trolling is another word for like the Yiddish word kvetch, or to complain. Trolls are kvetchers. They just complain about everything. They pick apart everything you do and make you feel like crap. But what Lindy is talking about, I think, is like a, it's like bullying in a way that's hurtful, disgusting, threatening, frightening. That's totally different than, you know, your microphone sucks. That's a troll to me.
Yeah, I think
no, it was a level beyond what I knew even was happening. It really did scare me.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know if you've been seeing what Brianna Wood has been going through. Brianna Wu has been going through the from Gamergate, and what's been happening with her, where she really had to get a restraining order from somebody. She's getting her life and her husband's life threatened daily by like,
scary.
It's really like guns and things. And like there was one of the persons turns out was threatening her was headed to her home. Supposedly to kill her. Yeah. And he got in an accident.
Yeah.
Which stopped it, obviously. Mm. But you know what I mean? There's a level of this kind of trolling, and the more she is visible, the more they want to shut her up. So it's one of those crazy things, and that is just blowing my mind with this. Now, turning it back to, you know, the way women deal with each other and men deal with each other, and my experience, because I never really had, I'm such a dork. I'm like, I never really had friends. Like, I was just too shy. I just didn't hang out with girls, or boys for that matter. It's like I just was kept at home, basically, totally sheltered. And I, you know, went to college. And even then, I didn't really want to hang out. Like, I'm just not a hanger outer. And then it wasn't until my 30s or my late 20s when I went to LA where I met my girlfriends, where I finally had girlfriends. And so now coming back to this Facebook group that we have for She Podcasts, and my experience in that group is amazing, as opposed to the experiences that I've had in the other podcasting groups, where I feel that if you post anything there, I just get like this, I get more negativity and more critical senses or maybe even negativity, if I may say that, where I feel that people feel that they're being criticized more. Whereas in She Podcast, I feel more communication happening. I mean, the discussions for the most part are more lighthearted, but there's one going on right now about the difference between podcasters and procasters. And, you know, all those people who are in, you know, NPR and like Radiotopia and all that kind of stuff, people who are trying to, from mainstream media coming in, and the podcasters feeling like the, you know, I can't say indie cause I'm going to get reamed. I know by who, but, but like people who just are like us, like in the back of, you know, our garages or in the top of the stairs, which is what I am. But, you know, that there's really intelligent discussions that are furthering the conversation and diving deeper into it without that extra layer of like, I have to feel like I have to fight every time I go into the other podcast groups. I don't know if you guys have felt that, but I have.
Heck yeah. Not so. Podcasters Paradise. That's a very
supportive
group.
Yeah, but, that's very supportive.
But yes, the other, oh yes, I feel very different. And when I was pregnant, I learned to stay out because I had such a big mouth about something. And I was just like, I don't know why am I even talking in this group? These people are donkulous. Yeah, so I had to stop myself.
I don't think I'm in some of these other groups.
Well, I'm so glad. You don't have to.
I just hang with the ladies. I like the podcasters.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. It's like I like to see them because I like to see the conversation that's out there. And even parts where I'm not involved, there's a lot of people who have very defined points of view. And it's like, no, this is the way to do it. And it's just like, holy cow. I mean, that's not true. I mean, all I know is that, you know, even just with this conversation about spreadsheets, and I want, because I really do want spreadsheets in my life, because I can't believe I just said that, because it does help. There are certain things that do help with them, but I have to teach myself to use them, right? But I'm open to other people use them a little bit more. I understand. I have like a plain text piece of paper, and I can see how, especially with podcasting, there are different workflows that work for different people. There's a microphone that's going to work for you that's just not going to work for me. I don't care how much money it is. I don't care how many podcasters are using it. I don't care how amazing it is. It's just not going to work for me. But I will say that's a great microphone. It's just not for me. I'm just really open to that because I feel podcasting is that personal. So it's that kind of thing. It's just like dogma when I go into some of these where I feel like everybody's like, you have to do it this way. If not,
well, yeah,
you will die.
I feel like the men really feel strongly about right and wrong. Actually, you know, ways of doing it. Who was I talking to? Oh, it was Harry. I was being interviewed for Podcast Junkies yesterday, and he was saying that, you know, and he was all sheepish about the fact that he was saying he was a fan of this show. Hi, Harry. And
that's true. There's probably a ton of guys listening that would never tell anyone else they listen.
We just we just got another feedback from a man as well.
Actually several. Yeah. And, you know, and I was saying, you know, I feel bad about the fact that, like, you can't join in the conversation in Facebook. And he was like, well, maybe you could just, you know, add a few loving men into the, and I was like, I can't, because there are too many women who are afraid to ask basic questions in front of a boy. That's why, that's who I'm protecting. It's not that I care more about the fact that they can't ask how to schedule an interview than I do about the fact that a man wants to talk about whatever the show topic was. Because men are just some men, they, even if the men I let in aren't condescending, too many men out there have made women feel like they can't ask basic technical questions. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't want them in the group. You know, it really has nothing to do with the fact that, like, you know, they should be ashamed to listen. I love that they listen. Hi, guys. But you can't be in the Facebook. You can't be in the Facebook group and not, because, you know, it's sort of like saying, you know, like, you don't want your kid to drive on New Year's Eve because all the other drivers you don't trust, not them. That's how I feel. It's you I don't trust. It's the other drivers.
And then there's the other aspect of it, which is like, you know, the boy in the girls group, how, regardless, he's going to get a lot of attention, you know, because that's what happens. Like, even in, like, you know, in those larger groups with lots of women, like B school and things like that. Every time there's like a guy, it's like anytime he says something, it's like, oh, he talked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't want that either.
Yeah, so I just kind of, it's not that we don't like them, and that's the whole point. We have had, you know, requests to open up the conversation in other places, and I believe, Natalie, you had some ideas to do that. But I kind of don't want to veer off to that thing, because I kind of want to continue with this, like, workflow thing that we have going on, because we've been talking now for quite
a
while.
All right, let's do it.
So,
workflow it.
So, in terms of getting your guest database, we've covered that. The interview, the way that exactly what she does to research some of the potential guests, and we're going back to your virtual assistant and all that fun stuff. And so she goes above and beyond that, though, because that's just like for you, like for show prep. So after the show is done, go ahead.
So during the show, I kind of have two documents open. I have that script template that she's made for me, and then I call it my interview notes template. And that's the document where I'm taking notes during the show. And I am, like, say there's like a quote someone says that I think is really tweetable, I'll like type it out as we're talking. If there's editing notes for my husband, I put those in this document. If the guests share some links that I want in the show notes, I put those in that document. And so both Lisa May and my husband Mark will reference that document when they're working on that episode before it goes live. So that's really kind of has become one of our important tools. So, like, I'll note the timestamp if someone coughs, or if I hear a dog bark, or a siren, or something happens on my end. I'll just kind of put the general timestamp really quickly so that Mark can go in and clean that up. And then Lisa May checks that before she finalizes the show notes. We'll add and edit any other link. Sometimes I'll reference other episodes. I think that's like a really great tip. I don't hear a lot of people doing that. I think if there's episodes that, I think it's, in my opinion, it's good to promote your other work that you've done. And it's kind of like when you're reading a blog post and someone links to another blog they've done. Mm. So sometimes I know that, like, I've interviewed a lot of Shark Tank entrepreneurs. So most people that hear a Shark Tank entrepreneur might want to hear another one. So I've actually grouped them into a place, bizchicks.com/Shark Tank. You can go there and see all the episodes that were Shark Tank entrepreneurs. And so I've kind of grouped things like that. And I'll mention different episodes if it lends itself to either during an interview or before or after an interview. And
smart.
So, yeah.
That's really smart, Natalie.
Thank you. And because really that's what, you know, if you like someone, which I think we probably all have noticed happens when people like you, they go back and they'll listen, you know, to a lot of other episodes. And you can see that in your, you know, your Libsyn stats. You can see like, wow, like people are going way back to the beginning. Sometimes I'm like, don't go back that far.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even want to go back that far and listen. That I don't know what those interviews were like at the very beginning. Yeah. But yeah. And so I've actually done that with a lot of things. I have like a featured topic page on my site. So I've interviewed a number of women in tech. So bizchicks.com/tech lists all my women in tech I've interviewed. And then I've interviewed a few cool dudes. I allowed a few cool dudes in and so bizchicks.com/cool dudes. But sometimes I'll reference a specific episode, or if one guest recommended another guest, I'll say, you know, this specific guest, you know, connected us. Thanks so much. And if anyone wanted to hear her episode, you could go to this link to hear that. So anyway, if there's other episodes mentioned, Lisa May will include that in the show notes too. And, yeah. And then, you know, Mark does all the editing. Lisa May does most of the social media. I actually write out all the tweets, but she does everything for Pinterest. She's built that board up to our Pinterest account up to 10,000 followers, which has been pretty amazing.
That's crazy pants.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really amazing. I've kind of just let her, you know, gave her some direction and she ran with it. And she wasn't, she was very savvy with social media from the beginning, but she hadn't had a lot of Pinterest experience. And so I think part of when you're working with, someone on your team is allowing them to do training. You know, I was like, go watch whatever videos you can on Pinterest. And here's a few resources I know about that are free. And, you know, I know other people have paid for their VA to go through certain training that they want them to have to help their business. And so depending on the length and the depth and breadth of the relationship, it may be worth it for you to do that. So one of the struggles I would say about working with a VA overseas has been the time difference. So I'm in Southern California. She's in the Philippines. Her day starts like at 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. my time. So I have to, you know, kind of keep that in mind.
Yeah. Hmm? You have to really think ahead.
I do. And then she's like a day ahead. So she actually starts working Sunday at 2 p.m. and I won't have her at all on Friday. So Thursday is her Friday. So that was probably one of the biggest adjustments to working with someone virtually and in a different time zone, was just really like grabbing my mind around, you know, like we're in completely different time zones.
Yeah.
So that was something. So, but she's been great. Like I've had her, like she hadn't used lead pages before. So I was like, I need you to figure out how to use lead pages and learn it. And I paid her to do that.
You know, there's this interview I did with my friend Amber McHugh. She's an outsourcing expert, and she was telling me about her VA in the Philippines. And it's funny because her business is called Nice Ops, and she really is like one of the nicest women I've ever met. But so I was talking about one of the downfalls of working with people in the Philippines, and she goes, they're really reliable and they're great, but you know, sometimes they can't work, you know, like because they lost power because of like a tsunami or something. I just thought that was hilarious. Like all of a sudden I just could see it now. Like, what do you mean you can't put out my email on Friday? A tsunami? What? Like just the thought of like, oh man, she's really good, except tsunamis keep coming.
I know. So yeah, the hurricanes have been crazy. And, you know, it's also, you know, they're mostly working from their home, like many of us are, but they're homes can be a little different. I was interviewing, you know, when we were going through the interview process, I was interviewing via Skype someone, and all I could hear were roosters and chickens in the background.
See,
and literally, I could see out the window, I could see chickens walking by, and I'm just like, I can't even concentrate in this interview, and because I keep hearing your chickens, and I'm sure, you know, she doesn't even hear them. She's tuning them out. But I was like, if for some reason I ever needed you to talk to someone else besides me, this wouldn't work. Like, you can't have a rooster going.
That's nope. Even a whole new level of ridiculous that you just mentioned. Like yes, like you want to hire someone, but only if they don't have chickens, right? Like, so ridiculous. Just the thought of it is insane. But it's so funny. That's just our world now, right? Like, we work with people in the Philippines, and therefore chickens can be a problem.
Yeah. And, you know, most of them are working. So I was interviewing people that had, you know, I could see children running around in the background. I'm like, oh, so how do you work, you know, with your kids around? And they're like, oh, I have a nanny that comes from, you know, works all day. She makes the family dinner. She does all my laundry. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I think that our VAs for compared to many of the female entrepreneurs I talk to have like more household help than. Yeah. Than most women in North America.
Well, because they get paid $5 a day. I'm paying, you know, $75 or whatever. That's why.
Exactly. So it's just interesting because so you learn a lot. And I love learning about other cultures, but we've had to learn, you know, they have different holidays and you have to decide what holidays are you paying for. Another interesting thing about the Philippines, it's traditional in December to get a full month's pay bonus. It's called the 13th. Month.
Oh, wow.
So if you are employing someone full time, and for me personally, even if I was employing someone, you know, like half time, so that's what we did. So for December, we paid her double. And they kind of, you need to give it to them earlier in the month because it's what they use to buy all their Christmas presents and take care of, you know, all their holiday expenses. And that's just, that's a cultural thing. And so if you are working with someone overseas, I think it's important to understand their culture and work out some of those things in the beginning.
Goddamn hurricanes. Messing everything up. Your little consulting business, like just the way she said it was very polite, but that's why I can see like people who weren't as nice getting super irritable about hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's hard. Like, Lisa May lost power. She's lost power a number of times. And, during the last hurricane, the only place that had Wi-Fi was the mall.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm going to be at the mall from this time to this time. If you need anything, let me know.
She's great, but she keeps losing power.
Well, so. that's kind of where I live. We're like, I'm sort of like in the boonies here. And if I went outside, you could hear cows mooing. And I'm sure in the summer, in the springtime, you'll hear other animals. So yes, we do have all that stuff as well.
And not every, that particular person lived in a rural area. Like not like everybody in the U.S. lives in a rural area or suburban or right. Area. So that particular, I don't want everybody thinking every single person in the Philippines has chickens outside their window. That was only one of like five people I interviewed.
Just your friend.
Lisa May does not have chickens outside her window.
It's just your friend. Yes. So, okay. So let's keep going with this.
Sorry.
She always apologizes to me.
My job is to derail the conversation today. That's like my full
shit. That is her full-time job. She's really good at it. So in all of these things, how many hours does she spend doing all this stuff for you so that we can...
Well, I employ her for 40 hours a week. I employ her full-time. But I, you know, that is what was needed when I started out doing five shows a week and I am now doing two shows a week. So we've actually been talking about moving her to more of a part-time level and finding her some additional work. I want to help to find her additional work. And so we're kind of transitioning now because now that we kind of have a flow and I know how things are going, I don't really need someone for that amount of time. I think if you're doing a daily show, I can't imagine anyone doing a show of, I don't know, even 3 days a week and not having help, unless this is all that you do. But especially
if 2 days a week and I was drowning. I was drowning. Drowning.
I think, you know, what surprised me actually when you kind of sent me a note of where we might be going with this and you asked me how much time I spend in total on my podcast. Mm-hmm. And I wish you had never asked me that. I cannot believe how long it takes. And even just asking Mark, well, how long does it take you to edit? And, you know, Mark's spending an hour and a half to 3 hours editing. So 3 hours is if an episode's really messed up. Like if the person on the other end, if they're,
chickens.
They thought they had their earplugs in, they have chickens. if they thought, usually what happens is people think they have their headset plugged in and they don't. And so then we're getting a bunch of echo or someone's in an industrial building. I've had someone be in a co-working space inside like a phone booth in a co-working space. And I can hear people outside mumbling. So those can take up to 3 hours. But a lot of it is him just like running macros in Adobe Audition and he's just kind of watching TV and waiting for them to go. He basically edits while he watches TV at night.
This is why I don't edit though, because it's such a time consuming thing. So that's why I decided whatever happened on the show is just going to have to happen because I could not dedicate my life to waiting for things to process in iTunes. It was just making me insane.
Yeah. So it takes a long, I honestly didn't realize how much time he was spending.
Yeah.
And so for me, interviewing takes about an hour.
Yep.
And then I spend, it sometimes can take me, it takes me a minimum of 30 minutes. Sometimes it can take me an hour, especially if I do it really late at night when I'm exhausted. I add in a like pre-chat, you know, I add in like an intro to my guest and, you know, maybe just talk to my audience a little bit, tell a funny story about my family or something at the beginning. And then at the end, I give a takeaway of the episode and I have a love-hate relationship with that. It takes me a lot of time to think about what is my takeaway from this? What would add value to people, kind of like summarizing things, but my audience loves it. They're like, I love your takeaways. I wait till the very end so I could hear what Natalie's takeaway is from the episode. So then I feel pressure. And so sometimes it could take me a really long time to think, you know, like, okay, what really was you know, my takeaway. And especially when I had, you know, I batch recorded a ton of stuff before I had, my baby Jet, who was born last September. And so I had, you know, like 3 months of interviews done, but I hadn't done the beginning and the end, you know, my pre-chat and then my takeaway. And so, you know, while I wasn't interviewing, I was still having to do that. And some of them I'd recorded like months before. So I'd have to go back and listen to big parts of the episode to kind of get my takeaway. So for some of that, there's a lot more efficiency I could be gaining in what I'm doing. And I'm still like refining and working on that and finding some ways to do it. I think actually Jess, you and I were talking, you know, just last week chatting about, you know, we weren't chatting for any other reason other than just supporting each other. And,
yeah.
And you said, hey, dude, as soon as you finish the episode, write down your takeaway.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's a good idea. And so I did that. I've been doing that the last like 3 or 4 I've done since we chatted. Did and that's a big help. So there's my takeaway. Boom. I remember it. And I'm not having to spend all this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise you have to, and it's not like, oh, so torture to listen to your show again. But I mean, it's not valuable time. It's not time spent well.
It's not.
That's all.
So I think for a, you know, my show doesn't end up being an hour, but it's close to that. It's probably anywhere from now it's about 50 minutes ish on average, to publish a show like that with the whole team, I think can take anywhere from 4 to 7 hours.
Yeah.
Of time. So if it was me doing it by myself, it'd be 4 to 7 hours of my own time.
And I know, and here's the thing too, though. This is why I wanted to have this conversation, because that is a guesstimate of time. Because for me, when I'm doing some of this editing, or when I'm doing even this recording, there are times, and thank God right now I have not been interrupted, but usually as a mom, a stay-at-home mom like this, there's always times when I'm in the middle of something and I just have to stop. Like, I just have to stop. Something has come up. I have to make a meal. Somebody spilled something. Something fell. Someone fell. And I have to go take care of that. And then when I come back, I'm like, where was I? And it takes me 20 to 30 minutes just to figure out what the heck, where I was. Because now I have other things. Other people have, you know, emailed me, messaged me, whatever. And then my mind is somewhere else. And now I have to come back to doing what I was doing. And you just lose the flow. So that just adds more hours. It's just so, it's easy for me to say, it really just, I mean, if I could just sit down and whip things out, I'll get things out in like maybe 2 hours, if I'm lucky, you know, once after the recording. So I'm not adding the recording portion to it, because I do have workflows. But that never happens. I have so many systems set up and I always have to stop in the middle of it because I can't finish.
Yeah.
So
I think that this is an example of why people are pod fading, you know, and
absolutely.
I loved you guys share that. I didn't even know there was a name for it. You guys had your episode on it, but you know, I don't think initially any of us know how long this is going to take. And I think if someone had said to me, Natalie, it's going to take you 4 to 7 hours, like you and your team, 4 to 7 hours of manpower to get an episode out. And, you know, say you could even streamline that to like 2 or 3 hours. Well, if I'm going to do 5 episodes a week, that was going to be 15 plus hours a week for me when I was doing that. And if you're doing, you know, even 2, you know, to take up, it's taking up a lot of time. And I don't think people explain that and talk about it enough, how much time it actually takes. And that's why people start and stop. And most people don't get to even 10 episodes because they start and they're like, okay, I started. Am I a millionaire yet?
Right.
Nope. Okay. Well, I'm at 10 episodes and You know, even when you're in New and Noteworthy, I know you guys want to chat about that a little bit. You think that people that are in New and Noteworthy are getting thousands of downloads. I was in New and Noteworthy with a few hundred episodes.
Yeah.
It's, and most people are, most of the people, you know, there's some of those big guns that have a big name already. They come out, they're getting those thousands, you know, thousands and thousands of downloads an episode. But majority of people in New and Noteworthy are there with a few hundred mm-hmm. or less downloads per episode. And we kind of, you know, we're trying to figure out the algorithm. Because at one point I was ahead of Ask Pat. So Pat Flynn, he launched his Ask Pat kind of when I was in the middle of my New and Noteworthy last year. And I was like, oh, man. But then a few times I was ahead of him.
So right. Like, yeah. No, I've been ahead of Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, it's like, how exciting. Is that possible?
It's not possible.
So we really think that there's something in the New and Noteworthy algorithm that has to do with like a percentage change. So like if you have like a bump in a percentage change, like a 50% change in downloads, which is easy when you have like your first few days, like 50 downloads or 25 downloads, and you double that or triple that, that has some kind of impact in New and Noteworthy. That's kind of our guess. My husband spent time, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, how we were getting there, what was the different flows of it. And, you know, when you're in New and Noteworthy, you're obsessed about it. Like that's all I could think about and look at it. I had to like stop myself from looking at it constantly. And now I honestly hardly ever look at it.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
I think that this is really good for you to be talking about because I see it from the back end. I see people's stats. I have access to people's stats.
Yeah.
So whenever somebody goes on, I like to study that. I like to see numbers. I like to see the impact. I like to see what they do. And I actually just saw a gentleman who launched in August, and he was incredibly pushy, if I may say, about getting people to email him. To review him, to, you know, star him, to, I mean, he did some serious, serious campaigning to really do a proper lunch. And then after seeing
proper
all
proper lunch is important.
Exactly. But when I saw, when I went back and I checked his stats just to see, I just see graphs. I don't really dive anything else. And you could see this huge like boost, right, for like 2 or 3 days, and then it just stopped. It dropped, and now it's like, for me, average looking. It looks just like everybody else's stuff. It's just that he had a huge big spike, and if you think you're going to sustain that, you're in for a really bad like thing. Yeah. Because it doesn't sustain. And then the whole point of it, and Nat, this is something that I feel is very important as well. You can see, you could do 4 to 7 hours an episode. You can see that you can push through that. Like you'll feel like, oh my God, I'm launching. I'm getting all this stuff ready. You could do it for maybe 2 to 3 weeks. And then you realize that you have to keep doing it. Not just for 2 or 3 weeks.
And that's why you're only going to do this if you love it.
Yes.
Like I love this. I think we love podcasting.
Totally.
It is so much fun. I get a high. Literally, I feel like someone is like giving me some drugs after every interview, unless it's a bad one. But almost.
Then you want to jump off a cliff.
99% of the time, I'm like, whoa, you know, this is so exciting. It was so great. And I just met this really awesome person. But for people that are doing this thinking, this is going to, you know, I'm going to be the next John Lee Dumas and be a millionaire. And even if you look at John, he, and I've heard him say this, you know, at different conferences and in person, he said, you know, you don't go into podcasting for the sponsorship. Everyone's like, I'm going to go into podcasting. We have these great, huge downloads and I'm going to get sponsors and I'm going to be able to, you know, feed, I'm going to be able to make in a month what I used to make in a year. And that isn't the reason to go into doing this or really much of anything.
Right.
You know, and it just, what John says is it's about creating something for your community, building something for your community that they want and need. So your podcasting does help you create a community and build a tribe of people that really are into you. And really like what you're doing. And that's who's listening. They like your style. They like what you're offering. and they listen to you and they get to really know you and like you because, you know, it's intimate. We're in people's ears. We're like close to their brains, close to their hearts, and they get into us. And so it's at that point that you think, what could I offer my community? And that's where there's a chance to monetize if that's what you want to do. You know, I come from a business background, so I'm kind of, that's my mindset. And, you know, what can I do to serve my community? And that's where, you know, there's a chance to make money. But if you're thinking I'm going to be, you know, setting my family up for life by starting a podcast, you are probably not going to make it past a few episodes.
No, and it's going to, and it's going to change and shift and change completely. And that's why I love having you on that, because you've been doing this now for a year, so that you see the consistency and what the real depth of what it is. I feel for myself in my experience as a podcasting for so many years, once you hit around the 1 year mark or possibly even the 100th episode, you start to sense a shift, and that's when you decide, I'm going to keep going or I'm not feeling it anymore. It starts to become a lot more clear after all of that time. Because, and something that I've seen too, huge life changes happen right around that time. You know, the 100th episode, it's like you were, you know, running the triathlon or some insane marathon. You keep on going and then you hit the milestone and somehow subconsciously you're like, oh, and then you exhale. And when you exhale, you're like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
You know, and I'll be honest. I want to be honest here, Elsie. I had to think that through. And yeah. And Jess, I think you, you know, I especially Jess and I had, we have babies. I have a 5-month-old. Jess, yours is 3 months old, right? Your little guy?
Yeah.
Isaac. And I think that, you know, this is, and for me, this is my third baby and Jess's third baby. And, you know, you have to really think, because anything I'm doing takes away from time with my kids. So I have to really think through what is worth using my time away from my family. And so I had to think about that and I had to kind of weigh that. And I would say definitely that will be a continued thought process for me because, you know, as much as I love doing this and I love it, and that's why I'm still doing it. It's because I love it. You know, I'm not feeding my family off of this right now. And I don't see that I can make an income off of podcasting to, compare to what I could make doing lots of other things, probably for some time. Mm-hmm. So, and part of that's also because I had a baby during this time. You know, I was pregnant during the whole time I launched. I found out I was pregnant a few weeks before I launched. So I did all this, you know, during pregnancy. I've given birth to a baby, you know, and so probably if I hadn't have had a baby in this last year, I would have a little more energy and momentum and would have created more things that could, you know, make this more financially, I guess, worthwhile, you might say, that would, you know, kind of compensate me for my time. But at the same time, I can feel something being built and I can, and now I've created this private Facebook community and I'm getting to like hear my listeners and see them, literally see them and see them talking to each other and helping each other. And it's so inspiring. And so I'm seeing that, you know, kind of build your tribe. I'm seeing the fruits of that and I can see where things are going. And then to be honest, I get so much from every interview. I learn from every woman I talk to and I'm building this network, which I can't even put a price on that. I feel like I could go to back to almost every one of my guests. Probably I'd say like 90% of them I could go back to and be like, hey, I need some help with this. Could you help me?
Yeah.
And they would say yes, because we have made this really amazing connection during our interview.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of babies, I want to go check on my nanny real quick. I'll be right back.
I know, as she's leaving, I'm like, we have to wrap this up. No, but you hit it. You hit it right there. And that's how I felt with Elsie's yoga class. It was one of the, you know, I had been podcasting for 4 years, I think, before I got, no, not even then. Because I started in 2006 and I got pregnant in 2008. And I got in really early. I had a lot of support from iTunes all the time. Like I never had to work towards anything because it all built on its own. Basically, I had a really great base of people who were listening or going to my classes. I was very into yoga at that time. So I was in a lot of different areas in yoga and people knew my voice. People knew who I was. And then I got pregnant again. And I didn't have the energy. I couldn't do it. And it's not something I could outsource. And it's also not something, it's not a show that I could batch produce. Like when I was teaching my classes, especially the ones that I put out, I was very, very conscious that I was leading people into their bodies, that I was taking them to do things with their bodies. And I felt like a huge sense of responsibility to be absolutely 100% present for this virtual community that I had, and to be clear and to be energetically there. And I felt that it was a disservice for me to just get behind a microphone and go, okay, everybody, put out your mats. Okay, hands on the floor, downward facing dog. You know, like I felt that would be, I could do it, but it's not the type of teacher that I am. So I didn't have it in me. And I first thought, like, I'll just do it when I have energy. I'll do it when I'm ready. I'll do it when I have a sitter. I'll do it when, and then I realized it ain't never going to happen. So then yeah. I just finally, and it still hurts me. There's still a really deep part of me that is sad that I was not able to serve my community in the way that they wanted to be served and the way that I wanted to be there for them, because I simply could not. And now I'm in this place. And that's one of the reasons why I also didn't do anything else, because I'm like, I have one podcast. Why do I want to do others? But I realized from here, I can do this. It's more sustainable for me to do this kind of conversations, which I love anyway. Like, I'm already having these conversations. Then for me to, at this moment, do the yoga is much harder for me, because that requires at least 3 hours of my day just to prep for that. Just to prep. So, and then there's the recording, you know, even if I do a 30-minute class, I do the poses afterwards. Like, I have like a whole workflow that really serves my community. All the poses are there. All the names are there. Like, there's so much images that go with every pose. I just couldn't sustain it. And I don't feel like cutting corners. So I just leave it. Right now, it's at some point, maybe I'll come back, but right now I just cannot do it. And I don't think people think through all of that yet. You know, like, what do you want to do with your podcast a year from now? Do you know how many hours you're going to be setting up for this? How about setting up workflows? How about having interviews or great shows that never got recorded? How about when your computer breaks down? How about figuring out mics? What about that noise that's stopping you from creating those 3 interviews that you can't shut up? Like, there's all of this information that comes through, and I'm like, it's not that easy, dudes. You don't just start. I mean, you can just start, but then to sustain it, ugh, I just want to slip my wrists sometimes.
No, I think I love what we've been talking about, because I think it's like the reality of podcasting, right? It's amazing and it's awful. I feel like it's like motherhood. Like, I love it and sometimes I hate it. You know, it's like, I love being like the center of my children's world. And then sometimes I just want no one not to need me for a couple minutes. And you know, so it's kind of like that with podcasting. It's like, it's so invigorating when you're doing the parts of it you like, and then it can be so hard to do those parts that you don't. And so as much as you can outsource, if you have the ability and the option to, if you can outsource those things, if you can streamline things, I mean, there's certainly ways to do things faster than the way I'm doing my podcast. There's things to do the way that, you know, your even your yoga podcast, someone else could do what you're doing and do something different, like not give the poses, not show visual, right? Mm-hmm. There's ways to cut corners, and it's not really cutting corners in a negative way, but there's ways to streamline any podcast and figure out how to do it efficiently. But in the end, if you're not doing it because you're passionate about it and you love it and you love what you're doing, then if you're not starting from that spot, I don't think you're going to be continuing.
Yep. I think we're going to have to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah.
As I wrap, because I'm like, my children are about to come on up here and they need mama too. But Jess, do you have anything to add to this wonderful conversation of how hard it is sometimes, but how amazing it is?
No, I mean, I'm struggling with it right now. And I'm glad we're talking about it, but it has not helped me in trying to decide what the hell to do. And that's like the fourth and fifth conversation. I just, you know, it's just so hard. Not that I can't keep it up, because I have a team that helps me and I can. It's just that I have other ideas of stuff I want to do. And I don't know. Pod fading to me is starting to feel like a gift, not a
disaster. And so,
yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing, because sometimes you get an idea for a different show, or you want to take a break, or you want to do something different, or it leads you in a different direction. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong. That's, I think maybe the end message should be, there's nothing wrong with pod fading. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It just is, this what you were doing at that time isn't right. And there's something, there's another better use of your time, whether it's another show or other work or spending more time with your family.
Yep. Yeah. And here's the thing too, Jess, it's, there could be a season, you know, you could just, I think mm-hmm. that what happened with me is that I was not clear about what I wanted with Elsie's yoga class. You know, I would always go like, I'll be back. I have two classes for you guys. I'm going to be coming back. And I kept saying that, and I never did. That's like so lame. But if yeah. I would have just said, hey guys, I'm going to take a year break. And, you know, and I gave them other options of other places to go or something like that, and just really owned up to, I'm going to have a season now. I only do Elsie's yoga class for the month of July, or really just be clear about what was possible for me. It would have been so much easier. It is just this like open-ended thing that was sort of like, oh, what happened? Because I get emails like that all the time. Where are you? Are you coming back? What's going on? And I always feel so bad because I never answer those, because they get lost in the shuffle, and it's like they're waiting for me because I never said anything.
Yeah.
Even if I just said like,
you need closure, Elsie.
Yeah, I need closure. And so if I ever just say like, hey, I'm just going to, for you anyway, I would just say like, I'm taking, you know, 3 months off. I'm going to be doing this, this, and this, and just be very clear about it. This is where you can find me now. I'm doing this podcast or whatever, and then start up if you're ready.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway. So, yeah.
Thank you guys, because this is a helpful conversation, even if, I don't know, I'm just going to try and find a happy medium.
That's all we can do.
I try to look at signs from the universe, and every time I think, I don't know if I can do it anymore, someone will be like, I just listened to this back episode, and it was so awesome. You're a genius.
I felt the same way. Every time I was feeling down, I'll get an email from a listener. Oh my gosh, this changed my week.
Yeah,
I have like new direction now. And I'm like, okay, I'll keep going.
Yeah. I mean, it really, it's actually a good point that if you do like something, sometimes that one stretch of your arm out will make the difference between whether or not they feel like they can go on. Like,
yes,
to me, it's like, you know, if I'm feeling hesitant, I just need one person to send me an FB message saying, thank you for putting this into the world. And it's like, I guess I should keep doing it. Like, it's something good that's affecting people. And what else do I do that affects someone? Nothing.
Well, you do this. You guys, and I just want to thank you. I hope I can speak for the other She Podcasters out there. Thank you so much for creating the She Podcast community. It is literally one of the places, if I could only pick one Facebook group to be a part of, that is what I would pick.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Very flattering. And
I am really grateful to be a part of it. And thank you guys for all the time that we don't even know what you're doing behind the scenes, that you, all the times and energy you guys do to make that happen, that community happen in this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're very grateful for the members of that group, and for you for us and wanting to come on and talk about your brilliant strategies for outsourcing and everything else we've talked about today. You've been a great guest.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It was fun.
And
so
if
much
you,
fun.
If
Thanks,
you want to find Nat, you can find her over. You have to let us know what the best place is for you to go. Maybe your podcast, Biz Chicks.
Yeah, Biz Chicks, and I spell chicks with an X. So it's bizchix.com. And I'm happy to share some of the templates I'm using. I can put them at bizchicks.com/gpodcast if that would help.
That would be awesome.
Yes, absolutely. That would be awesome. Yes. Awesome.
Thanks. And so for those of you who are listening, you can check out this episode and the comments thereafter on shepodcast.com. So if you're not a part of the group yet, it's very easy and free, shepodcast.com/group. We're also on Twitter at shepodcasts, and that's with an S at the end. I don't know. I don't usually close the show, so the end.
And the end. I know. And your feedback to feedback@shepodcast.com. Feedback@shepodcast.com. We do want to hear from you. And if you want to send some audio feedback, it would be awesome. And we did get your audio feedback. We just had an extra special guest today, so we will be addressing that. Thank you.
Sorry, not sorry. Right, okay. Natalie?
That's right. Sorry, not sorry.
This is their show. It's how it went.
For this show. But it is coming up. Okay. All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
the rest.